And we're back, Stripe Show podcast on a Tuesday. Last week of the year, it's snowing. I know in much of the country, I've got family here from Montana, from Idaho. They're showing me their phones and it's like 8 degrees, supposed to be down to -2, -7. They got, another 6-7 inches of snow. The ski hills are pumping. It's hard to believe as I sit here, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, I look outside my window and it's 80 degrees.
Rub it in.
It's a light breeze. And well, this guy joining me today, he said it's snowing where he is too. He's one of my favorite follows in all social media. You got to go follow him at Spice Adams. He joins me today from Chicago where it's snowing. How you doing, Spice?
I'm doing great. I just don't like the fact that you're saying it's a light breeze and it's 8 degrees where you are. You know, that's cute. It's real cute, Trav.
Yeah, I tread lightly. You know, I tread lightly in general, like in text messages and emails. But on the podcast, I just lay it out there because I've got
someplace safe. You're always someplace safe when you're doing this.
Okay? Yeah. That's right. That's right. I'm in my studio. It's safe. Windows cracked. I can see the sun. A little breeze. Trees are moving just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm out here in the suburbs, Chicago, man. And it is coming down right now, man.
Okay.
It's really snowing. What's crazy is it's been 50 degrees here. It was like 57 one time. And now all of a sudden it's just, it is really snowing outside.
You know, I grew up in the snow. So I grew up in northern Idaho. And, I know all about the snow. I just thought it snowed everywhere when I was young. And like people just played golf like 7 months out of the year. Cause you don't play golf up there 4 or 5 months out of the year. And I mean, you can play longer, lighter winters, but it can come down and you can be socked in 4 or 5 months. So I was like, man, this is kind of how everybody does it. And then I realized that, wait a minute, it doesn't snow in the desert. So I kind of went on down to Phoenix and then worked my way over here to Florida. And I don't know. I like this. I like this warm weather. And I want to start, Spice, because, you know, growing up in the Northwest, I'm a big Seattle sports fan. Seahawks, I'm kind of a diehard. And there was a game on Sunday and the Bears team, you know, a little bit about, you played for Chicago. You were drafted by San Francisco back in 2003. Yep. And then you played for the Bears 2007, 2011. And this guy by the name of Nick Foles brings the Bears back to win. Speaking of snow, in the snow game on Sunday. My goodness.
Yep. Pretty awesome. Awesome, man. I love it. I love it, man. And then that catch, bird, man. Awesome, man. The man controlled the football coming down with one hand. Mm-hmm. It was awesome, man. Two-point conversion was right where it's what we needed. It's what we needed, man.
Yeah,
we had to give y'all that L, but you know, it happens. It happens to the best of us, man.
Well, I think it was one of the best catches of the year, the 2-point conversion. That was a crazy catch.
Pushed out of bounds. And somehow, some way, he was able to get his foot down and then the knee down. Because the knee is the equivalent of 2 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. Awesome awareness and great catch, great throw. All of the above. I mean, I wish we would have had that week 5 through week 14, but. You know, it's any given Sunday, man. You never really know. Sometimes they fall into the trap of trying to be the best in the world when all you have to do is just be the best team that particular Sunday.
Mm.
You know? And but everybody, you know, always fall into that trap, man. And I did the same thing. And I was one game away from the Super Bowl.
Mm.
But that's just the way the cookie crumbles, man. That's what you signed up for.
Well, it's going to be interesting in the offseason here. Talk a little football here to start with. The Seahawks, they've been kind of spiraling here a little bit. It's been a tough season. They've had a nice run, 9-10 straight years. And, you know, the Bears, You got yourself a new quarterback, young quarterback, lots to look forward to there. But both teams going in the offseason, they're going to have to make a decision with their coach. It's going to be interesting. I think, does Nagy survive? Does Pete Carroll survive? Every year, you know, there's those 6, 7, 8 coaches that are on the hot seat. And I think there's more optimism right now on this Bears team probably heading into next year than there is with the Seahawks, because it seems like there's a bit of a, it's kind of a, an era that's coming to an ending that's been so successful. When you look at the Bears and you look ahead, what do you think is going to happen here? Are you excited about your young quarterback?
I disagree right there, Trav.
Okay.
This is the first season probably that Russell Wilson has not had a losing record. I mean, the first season that he has had a losing record.
Right.
So, I mean, how are you on the hot seat after, you know, you've won 10, 11, 12 games every year, and then the year that you don't, you're on the hot seat? It don't make no sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're allowed to have one or two, maybe even three seasons where you're not that good.
Right.
But look at all of the consecutive years that you were. I don't think you just throw all that away just off of one season. Now, the Bears are in a totally different predicament. Like, this is our second year of, like, we are, before the game, we have two more wins than the Lions. Like, like, think of that. Like, listen to yourself say that. We have two more wins than the Detroit Lions. Like, come on, man. That is not good, man. Like, we got a lot of stuff to look forward to, of course. Yeah, with Justin Fields, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But now, you know, with throwing him in the fire, you have to figure out, is that helping him or is that going to hurt him? Mm. And the way you find that out is putting him out there by next year. You know, he's going to have a whole offseason to think about it. He's going to have a whole offseason to try to, you know, get with different quarterbacks and to see, maybe he gets with a Peyton Manning or something like that.
Yeah.
Say, hey, teach me, oh, great one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. He has access to those types of opportunities. And, you know, you got the whole offseason to think about that. You got the whole offseason to, you know, get with your wide receivers and create a relationship with those guys on the offseason. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Bears get a new stadium pretty soon in Arlington Heights. So we'll see what happens.
I think Justin Fields reminds me a little bit of a young Russ, the way he plays. You know, there's a lot of similarities there. I think the hot seat, before we move on here, in Seattle comes from the apparent, I think, split of Russ and Pete. I think there's a split there. And I think it's going to come down to, and you know, they played the whole media side, right? And everything's fine and this and that. Yeah. But it's been happening for 2 or 3 years, a lot of rumblings there. And I think one's going to have to go. I think that's where it comes from, because you're going to have to make a decision. Do you keep the quarterback or do you keep the head coach? Because they both can't exist, which is crazy to think, because the numbers they've put up is similar to Belichick and Brady. I mean, that's how successful they've been. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason. I tend to agree. I pump the brakes, you know, overall. Like, you know, gosh, the NFL's so competitive. It's built on parity and one possession games. I mean, how many times, Spice, were you like, after a game or a season, it's like, man, we were so close to winning another 4, 5, 6 games just because of the nature of the close games, the one possession games, right? I mean, the ball bounced here, a call here. All of a sudden, you're 11-5 versus 5-11.
Yeah. I mean, back to what you were saying with Pete and Russ. It's like, It's like growing up with your dad. At some point in time,
yeah,
you're gonna have a rift with your dad.
Right.
It's inevitable. Like it happens. But you work your way through it. Mm-hmm. It can be years, it could be months. You just work your way through it. So if I'm anybody at the top, the owner, the GM, whatever, I'm just like, hey, look, I know y'all got issues, whatever, but work it out.
Yeah.
Work it out. Whatever you got to do. You guys are a great tandem. You know, as a lot of times y'all don't see eye to eye, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you could bring somebody else in here and he could have a whole different philosophy and really mess things up. The grass is not always green on the other side.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So the best thing to do is you already got the grass. Just keep watering it.
Okay.
Like nurture it. Put the fertilizer in it. Okay, we had eyes, but you know, let's get these W's piling up.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, see, you're making me feel better, Spice. You're making me feel better.
Yeah, I don't think y'all in a bad situation at all. Like, you mean to tell me that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they never had rifts?
Yeah.
I guarantee you they were probably at each other's throats 16 weeks every year. Well, 20 in their case, because they go past the first round of the playoffs. So every week, I'm pretty sure they had a riff.
Yeah.
No question about it. I mean, almost to the point where they probably had screaming matches in the office and slamming doors and walking away from each other. But at the end of the day, they come together to win. And I'm pretty sure Seattle can do the same thing.
Was there a quarterback when you played defensive tackle that you were like, man, I'm going to get to that guy. I'm going to slap that son. I'm going to slap him. It's silly. I don't like that dude.
Not because of their attitude, but just from the fact that you would have me on my stands for so long. And that was Peyton Manning. Like, just call the play. Just call the play, man. You know, I'm 310 pounds. I got to hold myself up in my stance for like 25 seconds, man, because you giving out all these dummy calls. Like, you're saying anything, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like, Omaha, check, check, check this, check that. He's just making all of these calls, and they're going no huddle, mind you. So they're hurrying up to the line, so you don't know if the play's going to be called or what. Meanwhile, I'm just still in my stance, like, dog, just snap the ball, man. You already know what you want to do, where you're going with the ball. Like, stop all of the song and dance. So I used to be upset, man, to the point where I did want to sack him so that he could just, like, shut up. But it wasn't because of him talking trash on the field or nothing like that. It was just the fact that he was taking all day to call a play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All that's by design, right? I mean, he's making you, like you said, you got to stay there in your stance and, you know, come out a little bit slower when you can't feel your right leg.
this may surprise you. And then again, it may not, but Philip Rivers was a trash talker. He was a trash talker. And it wasn't where like he trash talked to the point where he was like, oh man, I'm gonna hit this dude. Like I'm gonna really like try to sack this guy, whatever. It was, for me, it was funny. Like, I would be laughing. Like, some of the stuff he would say to people. And I saw some of it on, like, with him being mic'd up and everything and talking to different people. He talked to somebody on the Bears. I think it was Roquan, where he was talking about his running back. He was like, man, he hit that corner on you, boy. Hmm. But he's definitely hilarious.
Yeah.
But it was to the point with me, I would just laugh because I'm just like, this is actually funny.
Let's take a second to talk about the folks over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation across the golf industry and with golfers everywhere for its combination of value, performance, and customer service. Their team in Buffalo, New York is flipping the script on golf technology through perimeter-weighted balls made with the high-density particles and proprietary nanotransitional layer, offering players enhanced accuracy, control, and distance. Encore recently added the Vero X1 to its suite of award-winning golf balls, one that already included the Golf Digest gold-rated Elixir and low-compression Avant 55. Through its full suite of golf balls, Encore can help transform any golfer's game. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more info about Encore and start revolutionizing your game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast. You can see Spice Adams at Spice Adams on Instagram. Go give him a follow. He's up to over 2 million now. Some hilarious stuff there. I love the dancing, but before we get to it, you can also get a little slice of you at Creamy Bigums, which is how I discovered you was your videos shooting hoops, right? And Explain to my audience who Creamy Bigums is.
Creamy Bigums is the guy that you see at the gym who is dressed like he is from the 50s or the 60s, and he's the last guy you want to pick. I mean, you got 9 players, and then all of a sudden he walks in, and you're just like, all right, give me this guy. And he's thinking that he's getting picked because of his skills.
Right.
But he's getting picked because you don't have enough players. So he's a player that doesn't lack any confidence, that's going to shoot the ball, that figures he has the green light, and he thinks that he can average a quintuple double. he can do it all. But in actuality, he is one of the worst players in the world. But he'll never believe that.
Yeah, he got swag.
Yeah, he has his own type of swag. You know, he has confidence and everything that he does, everything that he says. But, you know, when you see him actually shoot the ball or you see him dribble, it just does not add up to what he's saying.
Does he make excuses like when Shaq throws the alley-oop and you go up to slam it and you can't control it, like that was a bad pass from Shaq, right? Is that how he views it?
Well, yeah, you would say, you know, Kareem would say that the rim wasn't regulation or
right. The
ball wasn't what he's used to or the pass was off. It's never his fault. Never. You know, he shoots a ball and misses it. It's because somebody, you know, messed with the rim where the rim would usually.
Right.
You know, but it's never his fault. Never.
And he wants the ball. Like, he's coming off a screen and he's like, give me the ball.
Well, yeah, the reason that the screen is set is to get him open.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, he could shoot from the logo or he could shoot from anywhere on the court, really, and be like, I think it's 98.5 repeating. His percentage from anywhere on the court. But you know what? I didn't even want to bring this character out. It was just like sitting in my phone.
Mm.
I didn't even have a tripod at this time. I just set my phone up on a ladder in my garage, and it was like June or July. So I know it was hot outside. I was in my garage and I was sweating like crazy. I was doing all these basketball moves on air. Like, I wasn't doing it on a person. I wasn't doing it on a court. I was inside of my garage just doing all these moves. And it was just, I looked back at it, and I was just like, this is the dumbest thing in the world. I'm tired about the posters. This is stupid. And so then one day, I was falling asleep, and the finals were on, Golden State versus the Cavs. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and post this. I'm gonna slap the finals logo on it, and then I'm gonna go to bed. So I doze off after I posted, and then next thing you know, a lot of my friends were texting me. Like, it was just, my phone was just going crazy, and everybody was saying that Kevin Hart had just posted the Kareem Bigums video on his page. So I'm like, man, what? This man is a full blown comedian. you know, he makes his own content. Like, why would he put my video on his page? Or like maybe he commented on it or something like that. So sure enough, I go to his page and Cream Bigums is there.
Yeah.
And so once he posted it, then all these different pages with millions of followers started posting it. So Ludacris posted, Jamie Foxx, Snoop Dogg, House of Highlights, all of these different people, Sports Center. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I was like, oh man, I think I'm going to have to try to get a page, a Cream Bigums page, so that nobody would take it. So now I got a Creamy Bigums page that has like over 300,000 followers in it. So
yeah,
it's been crazy. He's in a video game, NBA Live 19, where, you know, his overall rating is like 89. He's dunking on people. His overall rating is one higher than Magic Johnson. It is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, he's a character. He's funny. You know, Creamy Bigums, the way that you described him, there's a lot of golfers that are kind of like that too, right? Like you play you play team games in golf where it's like, okay, there's four guys in a foursome, you know, okay, so me and this person against okay, wait, you're on my team? You know, that kind of thing. What's your handicap? Yeah. And like in golf, like you get a handicap, higher the handicap, the less skill that you have. So you get matched up with Creamy, right? And he's like, what's your handicap? And he says, well, I'm a seven. And you're like, you know, damn well, he's not a seven. He's a 27, right? Like he thinks he's better than he is. Like there's a lot of that in golf too. So that's why when I saw Creamy, I'm like, man, I know a few golfers that are just like this guy.
Yeah, I'm a crash golfer, baby.
and they end up hurting you because their handicap's way lower than it really is, because they think they're better than that, right? And they're dressed to the nines. They got the they got the slacks, they got the white belt, you know, you got
the shirt all, this in,
all pressed, they got swag, they've got their towel, they've got all the, you know, routines down before they hit the shot. Looks very professional. You know, and then they top it and they hit it in the water and they hit it OB and they're like, damn, you know, the wind was blowing. It wasn't my fault.
Here's a dead giveaway right here. As soon as you line up to tee off, say, oh, y'all hit from here? No, I hit where the pros hit. They're going to take me back further.
That's it. That's exactly right. Like you could see Bigums is everywhere, right? I mean, it's. There's a lot of, I would be fair to say there's more Creamy Bigums in golf than there is in basketball.
Yeah, I would not be surprised, man. We got to get Creamy Bigums out on the golf course.
Well, that's where I'm going with it, right? Like we got, so, you know, he's going to show up. He's ready to go. He's reporting for duty. He's like, and see, Bigum shows up in my lesson tee. Again, in the slacks, white belt, press shirt, brand new clubs. You know, hey, I used to play, Creamy talking to me on the range. And when I played, I was like a five, maybe a three. Oh, really? Okay. Let's go ahead and warm up, hit 9-iron. Let's get going. And then, you know, within like 10 seconds, this guy never played to a 3 or 4 handicap, right? But... And he's dressed like it. He's got swag. He's got the talk. He's got the excuses. I'm telling you, Bigums belongs on the driving range with me. Spice.
Yeah. You know, if he's hitting bad, it's, you know, he's fresh out of surgery. You know, I got surgery. Yeah. I got surgery on I had a knee replacement, hip replacement, and my back yesterday. I shouldn't even be out here, but I'm toughing it out.
That's right. Bad shot. Ooh, I'm back.
Yeah.
Man, did you hear that? Man. My knee. Did you hear my knee pop?
Every shot.
Mm-hmm.
Every shot, man. Got the knee replacement, hip replacement. You got a fake foot, actually.
Fake foot.
Yeah, I got a fake foot, man. But you know, I'm out here, man. You know.
Yeah.
So it's all about fun, right, guys?
Right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's they're all over. I mean, you don't want that dude on your team. Like you said, he's the last one picked. And all right, I guess
you don't even player team, you don't even count them. It's a four-player team, you say, I got three. You don't even count them. It's like, remember me and everybody was in a huddle in a pool, but Ben Stiller was like outside of the huddle? That's pretty big.
Okay. Let's talk about this dancing for a second. How long have you been dancing, Spice?
Forever. You know, I grew up as an only child. And so my cousins, they would always come over to the house and they were like, you know, skinny guys or whatever. And they would play basketball with their shirt off. So, you know, whenever I take my shirt off, they would just start clowning me because I was always a big dude. So they would always be clowning me. So I always put my shirt on and everything like that. My mom would say, no, you take your shirt off just like everybody else got dance off and blah, blah, blah. And so the same thing came with dancing. You know, there used to be a lot of people dancing and stuff like that around the neighborhood. My mom would be like, get out there, show them your dance. You do your thing, whatever. So once I got the green light from my mom and the confidence from my mom, like she kept instilling that in me, I just became a dancing machine, man. Yeah. Everybody was just like, man, you're your big self. You can't do that. Man, then I get out there, man, cut a rug. I've never lost a dance competition, man. Everyone I in, I always, my mom, I'm telling you, I used to come home with hundreds of dollars, with trophies and all this other stuff. Mom, where you get that from? I won a dance contest. She entered me in so many dance competitions, and I would win them. Mm. And, you know, but now, Trav, I'm at the point now, man, I won't battle anybody outside of my weight class. You know what I mean? It's a lot of contortionists out here, man, all types. I can't do all that stuff. And plus, I'm pushing 40 right now. Man. I hung the dancing shoes up, Trav.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do no more battles.
Oh. I was going to say, you're still dancing on your Instagram at Spice Adams. Like, yeah.
I'm gonna never stop dancing.
Yeah.
Battles. Okay. I gotta stop.
Yeah.
I gotta
stop. Yeah. I mean, you can't go to a wedding or some kind of fun event where, like, hey man, you gotta get out there and dance.
That's why I get invited to weddings.
Oh, okay.
Just that, you know, everybody can see me dancing at the reception. Because I turn it out. I'm gonna sweat my suit out. I need a hookup with Nike, man. Give me a dry fit suit. I need a couple of dry fit suits, man, because I sweat out every suit that I'm in. Mm. That's what I need.
How much? Finish with this. How much golf do you watch? I mean, you like the sport? You watch the sport? Where does that fit in for you right now?
Can't watch.
Can't watch it.
Can't watch it.
Yeah.
You watch it?
Yeah, yeah. It's part of my job. Yeah, I gotta watch it.
You enjoy watching it?
I do. You know, I grew up with the sport. I enjoy watching it. I can see where it can come across boring. And I think a lot of us are encouraging a little more of a spicier kind of telecast and more transparency with storytelling with the players and things like that.
You know what? I look at people who watch golf in disgust. Like the my facial expression is looking like, what? Why? Why are you watching this? I can't do it. I can't do it. It's like this generation of kids, they watch people play video games. I can't watch you play. I want to play myself.
Yeah.
I'd rather play than to watch it. And then you got the commentators on there. They're whispering. Like, why? Like, just talk, man. Like, why you got to whisper? It's like everybody telling secrets. People got to clap. Like, I don't like the etiquette.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be quiet. Like, if you focus, you focus.
Like, it's true. Know,
like, people have to be quiet in order for you to hit the ball, right? Like, oh, man, you said something when I was swinging. And, man, shut up. Who came up with these rules, man?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't. Can you guide me in the right direction, Trav? Like, who was the person that said you can't talk?
Wow,
when somebody hit the ball, or you got to whisper, or you got to be respectful of, like, what? Man, yeah. If I say something, I'm gonna say something.
Yeah. Would you, like, what would you want to do if you were, you know, one of the players getting ready to hit and you're in the gallery, like, mm-hmm. where would you want your impact to be? Like, where would you make the noise? Would like right in the top of the backswing, or they make a putt, you can run out there and break a dance out, right? Get people, get the wave going. Because I think, like, you know, to your point, I think the most, I wouldn't say core, I you know, you've got the core golf fan, right? That's been consuming it for a long time, and the way the game was designed and played, and like that core golf fan's probably going to disagree with a lot of that. But then, you know, you kind of got that new generation and the fringe and the drama seekers, and, you know, like they want to watch, they want to consume it differently. And I think the sport's moving more that way. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I think we have a long ways to go, but
you get more people who want to watch it. Number one, then you get more people who want to play it. Like, why you got to play with a collar shirt on and slacks and all that? Man, I'm more comfortable in it's jogging pants, like a jogging suit. Like, why can't I just wear that? You already paying thousands of dollars just to play. Then you gotta wear a collared shirt and all this other type of stuff. Like, who come up with this stuff, man? Like, it's not a business casual thing. Like, this is a sport. This is a sport.
Yeah.
You should be able to have a tricked out golf cart. You should be able to play music. You should be able to talk and say whatever you want to say. You paying thousands of dollars. You got to follow all these rules. Man, Trav, I'm just start a whole nother rule book. That's what we should get together, start another rule book.
Another rule book. I think a lot of the things that you're saying, and this is a great conversation, I think a lot of the things that you're saying are starting to happen more. I can remember when, you know, just 10, 15 years ago, the idea of playing music on the golf course was like, yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, sure, I don't bother me any, but you just never even like thought to go there. And all of a sudden, okay, now you got a lot more of that going on. Now, can you do it at every club? I don't know. But I think
mostly everybody out there is either tipsy or drunk.
Yeah.
So why not throw on some, right. I don't know, some Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Something like
there's way more that happening now, Spice, than there ever has been. There's way more leniency on the dress code, which I think is a good thing, than there ever has been. It's moving the right way for sure. A lot of that. Now, you still have your clubs that can, you know, be a little stricter. That's fine. But I think there's going to be a lot more availability and options around the sport with the things that we're talking about, which need to happen and have happened and have helped the game considerably. And I think we have to keep, you know, pushing the needle that way some with the dress and the music and just casual, man. You know, it's a sport. Have fun with it, right? Now, how the tour and how you're looking at it and consuming it on TV. I mean, it was a big thing, Spice, when they let the tour players wear shorts in early rounds before the tournament started on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before the tournament started on Thursday. They had to wear slacks even on those.
It's 100 degrees out there. It's 100 degrees out there. And dudes out there with some slacks on, man, come on.
Yeah.
It don't make no sense, man. What? Then, Trav, this is what really needs to happen. People should be able to do whatever they want to do. If you're a commentator and you see a good shot, you should be able to celebrate. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You pay a lot of money to be out there on that golf course. You should have some fun.
All right, let's finish up with this here, a little football. But I'm gonna get. Let's. I want Biggin to think about. Maybe in 2022, maybe like throwing a few things his way that you could even just learn in your garage, you know?
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe. Start the camp in everybody's garage.
All right. So, Spice, you went to Penn State. They are playing in a bowl game versus Arkansas.
Yeah.
Who wins that game?
Come on, man. All right. What type of question is that? You know Go Penn State, man. We're gonna win by 5 touchdowns.
Okay. Who's coming out of the NFC this year in the Super Bowl?
Ooh, I tell you what. I hate to say it, but Dream Team up north.
Yeah,
looks good. And you know, you can never really go against Brady. So I would say either Tampa Bay or the Green Team.
I think Green Bay feels like the most complete team. I love the way they can run it. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers. All right, AFC. Who's coming out? The Bills ready?
You know what, man? The Bills, they look legit, man. They had some adversity. And they understand, you know, what it takes to win. And they understand how it feels to lose, even with all the talent that they have. I think they had a little bit of humble pie.
Yeah.
But, I think the Bills or the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Those four, I agree with. I think it's going to be Green Bay versus Buffalo. Allen, man. I don't know. I think it's Green Bay, Buffalo, and I think the Packers win it all, which is hard for me to say. I mean, that's just like,
yeah, I can't believe
that just came out of my mouth, to be honest.
I know, man. Goodness gracious. Yeah. But I mean, Rodgers is so good.
Yeah, man. He is.
So good. Makes such great decisions. I mean, did you see the stats with him and Brett Favre?
Oh, I mean, nuts.
He's thrown probably 200 or 300 less interceptions than he has.
Yep. Yeah, like, it's nuts.
Are you kidding me? I don't even think Rodgers has thrown 100 interceptions.
No, he hasn't.
I think it's like 98 or something.
Yeah, that's what it was, 98. I saw that.
I think Brett Favre threw like 400 or something. It is crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. He's, you know, he's one of the best. There's no question. He makes throws that maybe one or two others could. I mean, he's on another stratosphere.
He throws them. Sometimes he's in the air. His feet aren't even on the ground yet. Like, he can throw all the throws in a multitude of ways.
Yeah.
That not a lot of people can do. Which is crazy, man.
Spice, you're the best, man. I appreciate you coming on a Tuesday Stripe Show podcast. I'm going to put a club in your hands at some point in your garage. I'm going to have you watch one of my training program videos and say, I want you to do this in only way you can do it, you know, and then video it and then send it to me. I think it'd be magic to have you go through and learn it. Come on, give the sport a try. Wait, next time you're in Jax, I'm going to take you to a spot. We're going to play some music. We're going to untuck our shirts, have a few chili ones and go.
All right, cool, man. Let's do it.
Spice Adams, go follow him at Spice Adams on Instagram, at Creamy Bigums. Stripe Show Pod will be back on a Wednesday tomorrow. See you. Do you feel like you are constantly overshooting greens or coming up short because you choose the wrong club? Well, if that's the case, today is your lucky day because I'm proud to announce my brand new partnership with the boys over at Pinned Golf. Their brand new Ace rangefinder is amazing. And it's only $199. I've been using it for a couple weeks now, and I was blown away with the quality. It has a slope technology, pin locked vibration technology, so you know exactly when you are locked onto your target, tour lever accuracy, and best of all, it is powered by a USB charge, so you can forget about those little batteries every other rangefinder makes you buy. One 45-minute charge lasts you 50-plus rounds. I love it. Our friends over at Pinned Golf are hooking up all of our listeners with $25 off and free shipping when you use code Stripe Show. That's code Stripe Show. I'm telling you, for $175, you simply cannot beat the Ace rangefinder. Head on over to pinnedgolf.com and get yourself the Ace and get dialed in.